This is the 4501 Podcast, Episode 2.
Hey, Tony. What's up, man?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Yeah, it's raining down here. It's like monsooning down in Baltimore.
Oh, tell me about it.
Is it raining up there, too?
Yes, for sure. I looked at the radar earlier, and it's like all the way up and down from the Midwest all the way up here to New York and everything.
Oh, really? Okay, so tell everyone where you are right now and why you're there.
So right now I am at a Starbucks near Villanova University, and the reason I'm here is because my mom and sister decided to go shopping down here, and I came along for the ride since I'm going down to my sister's house tonight in Richmond.
Is this your younger sister or your older sister?
This is my younger sister.
I got you. So I guess like out in Amish land, they don't have the stuff there, right? There's no stores up there?
Exactly. So we have to drive long distances.
You have to drive to Philadelphia to get clothes because the Amish land that you're from doesn't have the, you know, modern clothes or anything like that.
Whatever you got to say. Yes.
You tell me. I live in Baltimore. I live near civilization.
That's true. You're right in the city there where you're at.
All right. Well, so today we're just going to talk about planning a backpacking trip, right? We're just going to go over backpacking basics. You've gone on a couple backpacking trips now, and I know tons of people have always thought about it, but they actually, you know, don't do it because I guess they're a little scared. I mean, it's a scary thing to go on your first backpacking trip.
Yep.
So how we should start off, why did you decide to go backpacking? That's a good topic to start off with.
Yeah, that's a really good question. And there's definitely lots of reasons for going backpacking, and everybody's going to have their own reason. But I think for me, the main reason for backpacking, like the one thing that I wanted to get out of it, was to experience something different in another country that is far removed from what I'm used to here living in the Northeast coast of the United States. So like we're for the most part stuck in like a little bubble almost every day. Go to work, we go to grad school, we do what we do every single day. We don't really experience anything else outside of that realm. But when you do something like backpacking over in India or in Asia or in South America, then you're going to experience a whole different world that you didn't even know was out there. So that is one of my main reasons for backpacking, is basically to experience another culture on the other side of the world.
Yeah, I would say that we do live in, I guess it's an East Coast bubble, right? Well, I shouldn't say the entire East Coast, but definitely from like DC to Boston, there are little nuances between cities, but overall, we all have kind of the same mindset, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And even just going like down south, like below Virginia,
yeah.
I'd say it's like a different culture down there with like the southern, what do they call it?
The southern states?
Southern hospitality.
Oh, I guess Maryland's technically southern state.
Yeah. But the more and more you go down, it's
it's a different vibe. Yeah, I got you. I feel like south, well, we're going off topic, but the south is more like, it's kind of like a slower lifestyle, I think.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. A lot more laid back.
Yeah. And then the Northeast is like, go, 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 which I love. Like I wouldn't be able to live like a slow lifestyle. Cause I mean, remember, when we went to Puerto Rico, right? Remember we went to Long John Silver's, and like the service there was so slow. But talking to people who are from Puerto Rico, that's just what they do. That's their pace, you know?
Yeah, it's no big deal for them.
Exactly. In Baltimore or Philadelphia, if you don't get your Starbucks within 5 minutes, you get pretty pissed off.
Yep, and then you go write a bad review on Google Reviews or Yelp.
Yeah, that's my jam right there.
You're all about that.
So once you go on these trips, do you have like a specific goal in mind? Or is it just to experience like different cultures? Like, do you think like it's just to get a viewpoint of the world that's different than what we're familiar or what we're used to here in the U.S. Is that kind of one goal or not really?
Yeah, like I just said, I think the main reason for backpacking is to experience a different culture, to experience something else that I'm not used to.
Yeah.
And I think like we mentioned in the previous episode that ultimately makes you a more well-rounded person by having those experiences.
Because, I mean, because you've met, I don't know, hundreds of other people from all over the world, right? And I'm sure may not have learned something from them, but you've certainly learned something about the places that they're from, or maybe you have learned something from them. I don't know. But I think that, well, I don't want to speak for you, but like, do you think that has changed kind of your outlook on how you live your life or what?
Yeah, actually, that's a really good point. Half the fun of backpacking, or half the experience of backpacking or traveling in general, is the people you meet along the way. It's not necessarily like the destinations or like the sites that you see, but the relationships that you build with other people that you meet. And maybe we're going to talk about this a little bit later, but that's why I do choose to stay in hostels, which are like shared dormitories where you meet like-minded people of usually a similar age, and you can connect with them, and they're pretty much with the same mindsets, having like these, or wanting to have these experiences in a foreign country from what they're used to.
Yeah, I gotcha. I mean, I guess that's one of the reasons why I wouldn't want to go backpacking, because I don't want to meet new people. That's what I like saying in hotels. Well, I like meeting new people. You and I both know that I am very friendly, but I don't care to like form meaningful like relationships with those people. I like staying in hotel rooms too. I don't like staying in hostels.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. There's definitely pros and cons to hostels, but hotels are nice as well.
Yeah, I'm pro hotels. Well, anyways, what do you think, from your experiences, an average backpacking trip is going to take? You may be a little bit of an outlier, but from the people we've met, how long?
Oh, so for me, the average, I guess, has been 6 weeks, but I've met people that have backpacked for 6 months or even like a year and a half.
Yeah.
They just pretty much leave behind their old life and don't return home for almost up to 2 years.
I can't imagine that. I was thinking that people backpack for like a month. You're talking about really, really extended periods of time.
And yeah, don't get me wrong, that is some of the extreme backpackers, like on the far end.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could put an average on it, but you know, maybe like...
Give us a range then. Give us a range. Like, what is the shortest amount of time and what's the longest amount of time?
Of people that I met, I say the shortest was like just a week. And that is more of like a vacation, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Even if you are staying at a hostel. And then, like I said, all the way up until 2 years is the most that I met somebody who was backpacking. And at that point, you're just going like everywhere, pretty much all around the world.
Yeah, which is, I mean, that's tough, but it's really cool. I guess next week, or the next podcast that we're going to do, we will be talking about why people have the urge to travel. It's like, is that pretty accurate?
Yeah, and a little bit on top of that would be why it's not as accepted to travel in America versus like Europe or other countries.
Yeah, I mean, because I love traveling. I can't make it work, you know? I can't fit into my schedule. I would love to travel all over the place, but it just doesn't make sense right now.
Yeah, time is a huge thing. And I feel like overseas in Europe, there's a lot more of that to be had, especially with these things called gap years, which we'll definitely get into next episode, episode 3.
Yeah, exactly. So one of the considerations when you go backpacking, okay, God forbid this happens, but what happens if you get hurt? You know, healthcare is different over there. I mean, healthcare is different in Canada than it is compared to the US. So like, how, for you, what did you do to kind of figure that stuff out before you go on your trip?
Yes, that was definitely a concern of mine too, because my insurance that I had through my company at the time would not cover me overseas. So I had to look into getting alternative healthcare and insurance coverage. So what I did was went through something called World Nomads. And that is a company that provides travel insurance with minimal medical coverage, but just enough to get by overseas. And when I say travel insurance, that is going to cover some things like trip delays, trip cancellations, theft, and all that stuff. But like I said, there's also other aspects to that, such as medical evacuations back to the US if you would need such critical care like that. And then I think there's basic medical coverage overseas on top of all that. So it's a really good package. I can't remember exactly how much I spent for that when I traveled to India for the 8 weeks that I was there between Italy and India. I think it was just over $200 for that, which I don't think is too bad. It's just like with any type of insurance, it gives you the peace of mind. So you're not constantly stressing about what if all the time, and you can actually enjoy your adventure over there.
Have you had to use it?
I never had to use it. Thank God.
Yeah. Have you seen people how to use it?
I have not. Just I hear a lot of talk about people wanting to purchase it, but I never heard of somebody actually submitting a claim.
Yeah. I just keep thinking, where was it? I think it was Yosemite a couple of weeks ago. Some people who were, I guess they were what you call a travel lifestyle blog, not vlog. They died in Yosemite because they were trying to take a selfie and they fell down the cliff.
Oh my goodness.
That's a little extreme, but still.
Yeah.
I guess that ties back, like, you don't do stupid stuff like that.
Never. Absolutely not. No selfies for me.
Yeah, especially not on the edge of a cliff. It's worse.
Yeah, you're asking for it at that point.
Yeah, just a little bit. So I guess this ties into one thing that is critically important when you're backpacking, which is cost. The healthcare, you have to pay for that healthcare. You don't, if you're working, then perhaps it's covered. But in your case, it wasn't, right? So you had to pay for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what are the costs that you thought of before you went?
I think the main categories of costs that you're going to encounter when traveling or backpacking is lodging, food, and transportation. Yeah. I think those are the three main ones. And out of the three, probably transportation is going to be the most expensive one. Because when you think about it, flights cost a lot of money.
Yeah.
And then when you're at your destination, getting around, either if it's a taxi or a train or a bus, that's also going to cost money. And you're constantly doing that every day. So transportation is going to be the most expensive thing. Then lodging. For me, I consider myself a budget backpacker, so I'm going to primarily stay in hostels, and those vary by location.
Wait, hold up. Before, I'm going to stop you there. Have you seen a luxury backpacker? Have you ever met like a, because you said you're a budget backpacker. Have you seen a luxury backpacker?
I saw.
Because people like normally associate backpacking with like not budget. I think budget is the first thing they think of, right?
Right. Yeah, I've definitely run into a couple people who don't really have a budget, and they are pretty much going to spend all the money they can on all the attractions that they can and go out to eat at the nicest restaurants that they can. But then at the same time, they're staying at hostels, which is okay. Like, I'm not judging them for that. I think, like I said earlier, part of the reason for staying at a hostel is the community aspect that you get from staying at a hostel, like the people you meet.
Yeah.
But it's just kind of like interesting that they made that choice versus staying at a nice hotel.
Yeah. And so if we're trying to estimate cost here, what do you think? So let's take, I don't know. So let's say you met those type of people in like Copenhagen. Okay. And so how much was your average hostel in Copenhagen, and how much do you think like a hotel would be in Copenhagen?
I can't speak for hotels. I'm really not sure how much they cost in Copenhagen, but I'm pretty sure my hostel in Copenhagen was like $25 US dollars a night, which is on the higher end of a hostel price that I've paid. But in general, I think in Europe, you'll pay $20 a night for a hostel.
Yeah.
And that's like a far contrast from the cost of a hostel in India, for example. I think the most expensive hostel I paid for in India was $10 a night, and the cheapest one was $2 a night. So you can see how it varies a lot based on location.
Yeah, and events too, right? Because you have to, well, I guess that's the same thing with hotels. Like if you're, because you went to Oktoberfest in Munich?
Yep, Munich.
And I remember you telling me that the hostel prices were actually jacked up because of Oktoberfest.
Yeah, it was quite ridiculous. It was 61 euros a night during Oktoberfest for an 8-person dormitory, which is pretty outrageous. But
So that's like $90 a person, in the US dollar. That's like 90, 80 bucks in 80, 90 bucks in US dollar.
It's closer to $70.
70? Okay, well, my math is wrong then. Do you know why? You should have booked it through Direct as opposed to Hostelworld.
Yes, that's a really good point. And I could tell you all about that in one of my vlog episodes, which we'll put in the show notes.
Yeah, Tony has a war against Hostelworld. He hates it.
I wouldn't consider it a war. Actually, I really like Hostelworld for the ratings and the reviews that they have on all the hostels. But one thing that you should know.
Well, back up. Well, tell people what Hostelworld actually is. This is a tool that people can use.
Yeah, Hostelworld is basically a hostel search engine. So think of like a booking.com or like a
Expedia or Orbitz or just like a hotel. It's the same thing as like a hotel booking website, a third-party hotel booking website, except for hostel.
exactly. So you're gonna find all hostels on there. They have, like I said, they have a really good rating system. So after somebody stays at a hostel, they ask them to review it. So you got these handwritten reviews from everybody. They have a 5-star rating system, so it's really easy to sort which hostels are ranked better than other ones. And then they have a whole bunch of different filters. So you can say, does this hostel have free breakfast? Does it have free Wi-Fi? Does it have free linen and all that stuff? So you can easily find what kind of hostel you want based on your criteria in a matter of no time. But with all that being said,
And we should say this right now. This is not an ad for Hostelworld. We are not paid for Hostelworld. You just made it sound like such an ad.
I like I'm said like I said, I really, really like Hostelworld, but I hate the fact that they kind of disguise or they're really the thing that I hate the most is they're not upfront about the fact that they're charging you more than the actual cost of a hostel. That bothers me a lot. They're not being honest with their users. And to explain this a little bit more, when you book a hostel through Hostelworld, you have to pay this deposit, and that deposit goes directly to Hostelworld, but it's not clear that it's going to Hostelworld. They never come out and say that your deposit is going to Hostelworld. And this deposit isn't like a small amount. It ends up being like anywhere from a few bucks to like 10 or $20, depending on how long you're staying at that hostel. So that's my biggest pet peeve with Hostelworld.
Does it seem like it's a percentage almost? Like 2% of your booking rate or your final cost?
Oh, it's definitely a percentage. I'm not sure the exact number, but my estimate is somewhere between like 10 and 25% of the cost of your hostel per
Really?
night.
Jesus.
So
That is significant, especially for a budget backpacker, right?
absolutely. You should always book direct with a hostel. And just my recommendation is to use Hostelworld as a resource.
Yeah, Hostelworld doesn't direct. Do they have like so like Expedia will have a direct link to the hotel's website. Does Hostelworld do that too, or no?
No, you actually
So
book the hostel through Hostelworld.
okay, no, but like if they're in the ad or like the description of the hostel, do they add the direct link if that hostel has a website? Would they add the direct link to go there?
No, absolutely not. It's
Okay.
everything's done. You never leave Hostelworld, and I don't think they even have links to the hostel's website.
Yeah, so you'd have to like go manually Google it or something.
Yeah, you have to manually Google it for sure.
Oh, well, Tony's war of against Hostelworld begins or continues.
Yep, you'll thank me. You'll thank me later.
Yeah, I guess Hostelworld, it seems like, knowing the information that you just talked about, if you're using it as a resource, right? If you're actually in the throes of backpacking, if you're in the middle of a 6-week trip. And you didn't know where to stay, Hostelworld would be a good kind of launching point. But you can also use it before you backpack, right? So you can use Hostelworld as a resource and then book direct. Because I feel like it's almost easier to book direct before your trip than after or during, I guess.
Yeah, because stuff will actually fill up closer to the day that you want to stay there. So there is a gamble if you choose not to plan out all of your hostels ahead of time.
Yeah. Did you plan it out or did you not plan it out? How did you approach it? And I guess it's going to vary person by person, right? It's whatever, it's a, however that if that person's like searching for life's meaning, then they may not be planning their trip out before they go. They're just kind of doing it on the fly.
Correct. And that's more of how I approach it. I do not plan out meticulously like that, but there are people who meticulously plan their entire trip, their entire 6-month to a year trip on like Google Documents and Google Spreadsheets and book all of their hostels in advance. And that is the kind of extreme type of backpackers that you'll see, some who are very meticulous planners and some who kind of wing it as they go. And I would say I'm more on the side of winging it as I go, booking a hostel just a few days before I actually end up staying there. And that has come to bite me in the butt a couple times, where I ended up wanting to stay at a specific hostel and they were all booked out, and actually went to the hostel and they said, no, you can't stay here. We have no more availability. But the good thing is hostels have such a community surrounding them. So like hostel owners know other hostel owners in the area. So they'll easily be able to refer you to another hostel down the street or a couple blocks away. So it's really not a problem in my opinion.
Yeah. Would you say the majority of people just kind of plan as they go?
I would not. I would say most people plan out their lodging before they actually take their trip.
You know, I feel like that's almost... I obviously had never backpacked before. But for vacations, I feel like if you're actually planning a trip and you almost have a set regimen, like, oh, we got to be here these 3 days. Oh, we got to be here these next 3 days. You know, it's very tiring.
Oh, yeah. Moving around is exhausting.
I think that's like one of the drawbacks of backpacking, where if you don't have an agenda, if you don't have a plan, then it's almost like a more relaxing trip. It may not be like, it may be stressful, like, oh, I got to be here by this train station, or I'm going to miss the next train or whatever. But I mean, overall, it's almost more relaxed.
In a certain sense, yes. I feel like, though, there is a different kind of stress that you have, and that is, what am I going to do next and where should I go next? But at the same time, that kind of gives you a sense of freedom as well. Like, yeah, anything can happen.
Yeah.
So there's pros and cons to
there both definitely ways. Is. I mean, yeah, because if you are planning, then you know you're going to be able to see everything you want to see.
Yeah, yeah, most likely.
There are certainly pros and cons to planning versus non-planning. But I think another thing that factors into what we've been talking about is where you decide to go to. So we've talked about hostels being priced differently by location, what type of events. But what are kind of some of the things you can do before you go backpacking? To like, how do you decide on a place to go to? I guess that's the question that I'm not going to ask you.
Yeah, that's a really good question. And there's, besides costs, there's a lot of factors that contribute to that, just like personal interests and what you actually want to see wherever you go. But the one thing that drives me forward when deciding somewhere to go, kind of like we talked about before, is the culture that you're going to experience wherever you go. So like, for example, my first backpacking trip was to India, and I don't know if this makes sense, but I feel like India has a very strong, distinct culture, and it really stands out. And that is one of the draws for me to go to India. And another one that I haven't gone to yet, but I think is a similar type of example, is Japan. Like, I feel like Japan has a very strong, distinct culture. So that is another location that I would be interested in backpacking to.
So I feel like that culture is derived from its tradition, though. It's just like those two countries. When I think about that, I don't think... So they definitely are modernizing Japan more so than India. But when I think about Japan and India, those two countries specifically, I don't typically think of them as modern country. They are entirely. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
You typically associate them more with like old tradition, like samurais and emperors and stuff like that. That's the gut that comes off the top of my head. So is that could be why you feel that they're more cultured. They just have, in a modern world, they are more cognizant of their past than other places. The U.S., you don't really get that type of feeling.
Yeah, that's a really good way to put it. And yeah, probably that's what's the draw for me and a lot of other backpackers as well.
Yeah, that could be it. That's cool. All right. Do you think we should cover anything else? Is there anything you want to tell people about what we should do, what you should think of, or thoughts to consider before backpacking?
Yeah. So my biggest piece of advice for planning a backpacking trip is to just have a general idea of where you want to go and also have a budget in mind with that. And if you don't necessarily hit your budget, that's okay. The most important part is that you have a really good experience wherever you end up going.
Yeah, that's great. I think if I were backpacking, you're going for the experience.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Because so I guess we can talk about this in a later podcast or in a different podcast, but I would say that there's definitely a shift in our generation of people. They want to do more experiential stuff rather than concrete stuff, if that makes any more sense. Like traveling is definitely more experiential. Whereas if you're buying, I don't know, a new TV, that's not.
Yeah, for sure. I'm much more willing to spend thousands of dollars on travel versus spending thousands of dollars on furniture or a TV, like you said. That's a really good point.
Yeah, I think so. Those are kind of things to consider when you're planning a trip. Let's say you have planned a trip and you're going to be going on your next backpacking trip soon for a new timer. What are some of the supplies and equipment that you think are key when you're going away?
Yeah, so there's definitely a good amount that you're going to pack, and this list is not comprehensive, but here's a couple of things that, in my experience, are critical for taking with you on a backpacking trip. The most important thing for me is hand sanitizer, because you are going to be perhaps sometimes in the middle of nowhere without a sink or soap or anything like that. So keeping clean and staying healthy with hand sanitizer, something very simple, something very lightweight like that, is really nice to have with you on your backpacking trip. Also, if you're staying at hostels, a lock, a combination lock, ideally a padlock will work too, but having a lock to lock up your valuables during the day when you're out and about is also something very good to have. And in my experience, I'd say like 95% of the hostels that I stayed at have lockers available free of use that you can put your stuff in during the day.
How big are they? Are they like those like high school lockers? Or are they just like the half high school lockers? Or are they even smaller?
They vary in size depending on where you're at. So some of them are like just like a mailbox size locker. And then you're just going to put in like, you know, your cell phone or your like your wallet or something like that.
Yeah.
And then there's other ones which are like pretty huge. Like you could fit your entire backpack in.
Could you sleep in there like a pod hotel in Japan?
Not that big, but some of them do go under the bed, like slide out like a big drawer under the bed so you can fit a whole bunch of stuff under there.
I gotcha.
So yeah, locks are really good to have. And also along the same lines of if you are staying in a hostel, which is a shared dormitory, you want to have an eye mask and earplugs, because people are going to be coming in and out late into the night. And there's going to be people leaving early in the morning to catch buses or trains or whatever. So having an eye mask when the lights go on or the sun rises, and earplugs when the door slams or somebody is making noise, is also critical. And I would not be able to survive without those two things.
So going off of that, and I don't think we covered this in the last section, but we can now. Do you get sketched out by staying in hostels? Okay, so you do get to meet other people, but I guess the fear is that that person is a murderer and it's going to kill you in your sleep. Like, you ever like get sketched out at a hospital? And I feel like the idea of a hostel in my mind is some Eastern European country where it's literally 10 people in one room and all of them are drug addicts, and it's not a good situation to go in. Like, that's not the hostels in reality, right?
No, that's not reality at all. Maybe there's some hostels that are like that. Maybe the one stars on Hostel World.
Yeah.
But in my experience, it has not been that. I think the worst hostels that I've stayed in, well, not the worst, but I think the hostels that I try to avoid now are the ones without age restrictions. So a lot of hostels say like only 30 years and under can stay in that. And those are the ones that I'm more gravitated towards now. The ones without age restrictions are where you're going to get the kind of like weirdo older man staying in a hostel kind of thing. And that's the kind of hostels that sketch you out.
Yeah. But if like, you know what I'm saying? Like, did you have that preconceived notion going into this?
No. I never really considered staying in a hostel before. My first hostel was actually in Hawaii, in Oahu. And I had a decent experience there. So all of my, you know, my mental picture of hostels was based off of that. So I never really worried about it. Kind of like your mental picture is a pretty traumatic one.
Yeah, it really is. That's why I'm pro hotels.
That's maybe, a good reason.
Maybe if we go on a trip, I'll go. I just feel like I wouldn't want to stay in like a six person, because you can get hostels that have like a single, whatever, like two people in the room or like one person in a room. Like you can get that, right? They're just more expensive.
Yeah, yeah. They're like private rooms, essentially. Yeah, it's essentially like a hotel room in a hostel.
I would do that.
Well, when we go to Doha and Abu Dhabi, we will try to stay in some hostels.
Yeah, I think this trip is going to be planned out to a bigger extent. So just we'll talk about that on a different vlog when we have all our friends around.
Yeah, yeah. That's a really good idea.
Could be a round-the-world trip. We'll see how far I progress in grad school first.
Yeah, get that on your belt and then let's go.
Yeah. So those are great ideas. There's obviously going to be things that you thought about while you're away, like things you wish you would have had. And your vlog today is November 6th. Your vlog today was talking about this in preparation for your next trip. But what are some of those things that you talked about in today's vlog?
Yes, this is a really easy question because it's fresh on my mind. A couple of things that I wish I would have brought on my last trip to Central Europe were a plastic fork and spoon. And this seems like a really silly thing to bring, but it happened to me at least twice where I bought a salad from a grocery store or I had leftover food that could only be eaten with a fork or a spoon, and I did not have a fork or spoon. And the thing that shocked me was at the grocery store that I tried to get silverware from, or you know, some type of plastic fork from, they charged me €0.50 to purchase a plastic fork and spoon. And I kind of like...
Was the salad even good?
I don't remember. I think it was kind of watery.
So it was not memorable. So with the salad, it was not good.
No, no.
That's sad.
It is. But like at Walmart, for example, they have reusable plastic forks and spoons that weigh like, you know, I don't know, less a fraction of a pound, right? And yeah, they're very easy. You could just stick in your bag. They take up minimal space and they'll come in handy at least a few times during your trip. So that's one recommendation for something to bring.
Yeah. Would you ever consider getting a spork?
I would not. I don't like sporks. Do you?
Only from Taco Bell.
They have sporks there?
I think they still do, actually.
Is that like...
You've never seen a spork before?
I've seen them, but I never use them. I don't think they're that practical.
At Taco Bell, they are.
What do you eat at Taco Bell with a spork?
Sometimes I like eating them. Like I like using the spork for like the Mexican pizzas that they have there. Cause you can just like cut it. You can use the spork as like a, almost like a knife. And then you can just scoop it up. Cause sometimes those Mexican pizzas can get a little soggy. So you can scoop it up.
So a spork is a fork, a spoon, and a knife?
No. Well, I mean, no, it's not it's a spork. It's just a spoon and a fork.
Oh, okay. Okay. You mentioned the knife part. So
the knife is you can use a spoon to cut too. It's just kind of, you just, I don't know, use the side of a spoon.
Right.
You don't understand this?
No, I get it. I get it. I'm with you now.
Okay. But a spork is a combination. Instead of carrying a spoon, knife, and a fork, you can carry a spork around.
That's true. That's even like more concise and compact.
What? So would you ever bring a double-sided, like a fork and spoon, one of those single utensils, or you just bring the set around?
That's a really good idea. I'm gonna look for that.
Yeah, I know, because I'm smart.
You are. You're a very savvy backpacker.
And that has never gone backpacking before. What else?
Yeah, kind of along the same lines about eating food, having a Ziploc bag for food that you want to like compact down. Like say you go to the grocery store and buy a box of cereal. You don't want to carry that box of cereal around with you. So having a Ziploc bag that you could put that into is a much more compact way that you can transport that food around. And then if you have like leftovers or something, you could also put that in some type of Ziploc Tupperware or something like that.
Would you bring the box or you just bring like the roll of them? Because you know, like they come in a roll within a box.
Yeah, no, don't carry around cardboard. That's not really packable. Take everything out of cardboard and stick them into a side pocket on your bag.
Could you put a bag within a bag?
Absolutely, yeah.
See, I'm giving you ideas already. I was just about to say something to that. Oh. So you talked about putting like cereal into a bag, stealing from a hostel. What type of cereals are there in hostels?
So a lot of hostels don't have breakfast, but if they do, they'll have some type of like very basic corn flakes, like very, very plain, maybe some Cheerios if you're lucky. And there's something called, I don't even know if I can say it right, but muesli. Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah, isn't that just oatmeal?
It's kind of like oatmeal with a whole bunch of like different like berries and nuts and a lot of other.
So you're saying you put that into a bag? You put oatmeal into a bag?
Yeah. And then you can eat it later when you're on the bus or the train or during lunch.
But is it? But it's a dry food, right?
It is dry. Yeah.
I was about to say if it's oatmeal, why would you put oatmeal into a bag? That's kind of gross.
No, you're not putting oatmeal in the bag.
I think muesli is like more like granola.
Yeah, there's many different types of it from what I have seen, and it's really popular over in Europe. But it is a good thing, like take a handful of it and stick it in your mouth for a snack.
You mean steal a handful of it?
Multiple handfuls of it.
Part of being a budget backpacker is stealing from your hostels.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh man. All right. Well, I'll report to you next time you go. So is that everything? You said Ziploc bag, plastic spoon, fork. Is there anything else?
There's one more thing that I thought of, and that is an extension cord. So the reason for this is because when you're overseas, you're most likely going to have a travel adapter anyway to convert from US type of electrical plugs to the local one. And that is already going to, how am I going to explain this? When you have a travel adapter and you try to plug something else large into that, like a MacBook Pro charger, you're going to end up, or gravity is going to work against you and it's just going to fall right out of the wall. So if you have something like an extension cord to take all of that tension off of the travel adapter, you can plug in multiple things such as your MacBook Pro charger, your camera, your cell phone, and not have to worry about anything like that.
You talked about this in a vlog that you did. Do you remember what episode? You don't remember what episode.
I do remember. It was episode 120.
120. How do you remember that?
Because it was yesterday.
Yesterday.
Oh, you mean the visual demonstration.
The visual demonstration.
Okay. No, I was in, where is it, Berlin. We'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah. Because it's definitely, you're right, it's hard to describe without you looking at it. But basically, right, so you plug in these giant travel adapters, but because they use different power outlets in Europe and China and places like that. So when you plug in your travel adapter, it's usually not like a solid connection. Well, it's a solid connection, but it doesn't stay into the wall firmly. So if you put something heavy on the other side of that travel adapter, it's going to put too much weight on that adapter and it'll fall out of the wall. Essentially, that's what you're saying, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So using the extension cord, hopefully you just plug it into your travel adapter. The part you plug your charger into will be on the floor so that it doesn't actually fall out, although it still could.
Yeah, exactly. So as long as you have something like longer than a foot, then you're fine.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, that makes sense. You should have taken my extension cord. I've yelled at you already for this.
Next time.
Yeah. I have a nice one. It's a travel extension cord, but it also has a surge protector on it. So it's really nice. I think it's a Belkin.
Is it Amazon choice?
I don't know. It's a good question. Although Amazon choices, they have like a roving Amazon choice. Because if you actually Google a product on Amazon, their Amazon choice things will differ every time you search for that item.
Really?
So I was trying to look up a space heater because my heater's broken. And the first heater that popped up was like an Amazon, their Amazon basic space heater. And then if you just change it to like space heater Honeywell, like the Amazon basics isn't the main choice anymore. It's like a Honeywell one now. Cause like, it's, it'll differ. So they like way too many, their choice is basically different based on what you search. It's never going to be the same one.
That's not what I expect. I know what you're saying. That's kind of, yeah, that's weird.
I mean, maybe it's filtering into a specific type, but you would guess if it still has the keyword space heater in it, the Amazon basics would still be the choice one, but it's not.
Right. That's not very exclusive.
No. But I mean, it is what it is.
Right.
So it looks like it stopped raining down here. I got to get some stuff done before it kicks back up. Tony, you got to drive down to Richmond, right?
Yeah, I'm heading down there in just like 20 minutes or so. So we'll end it here for today. Like Mark teased out earlier, next episode, episode 3, we are going to talk about why kids our age want to travel. And that's especially millennials and the generation below that. We'll be talking about generational differences from adults, and we will also be touching on American culture versus other cultures when it comes to travel, especially the European culture. So definitely look forward to that.
Yeah, it should be a cool episode to listen to. Anyways, I'll catch you later, buddy. I'll see you next time.
Yep, see you later.
Thanks for listening. Hey everyone, thanks for listening to this episode. Please follow us on Twitter at the 451 Podcast to keep up with the latest news and events. If you have any suggestions for episodes or would like to contact us, shoot us an email at the451podcast@gmail.com. The451podcast@gmail.com.